Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
4 o'clock on Friday can only mean one thing. From St. Joe to Sao Paulo to Santa Clara, he's there every step of the way, and nobody knows the Chiefs like Nate Taylor.
They will move Joe Tooney to left tackle.
Now of ESPN, join CDOT on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5, The Fan.
We're very happy right now to be joined by Nate Taylor of ESPN to get you ready for week four of the NFL season between the Chiefs and the Ravens. Nate, let's start with this. Let's get an injury update on Xavier Worthy. I guess two-part question. Mm-hmm. What happened last week? I certainly trust your reporting.
I know. Oh, I knew you were going to bring this up.
I'm just saying you put it out there. I believed you. And then they didn't even make it a game-time decision. They announced on Saturday he wasn't going to play.
Right.
Well, but they now seem very confident that he is going to play. What happened? What have you heard? And how hopeful, how optimistic are they that he's going to play coming up on Sunday against the Ravens?
I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen.
It happens.
We talked to Xavier Worthy a little bit in the locker room. Everybody on the team, thought, okay, he could play a limited role. I think that's what I said last week. Like, he's going to play. It might be limited. Who knows? I think I told Cody and Goat this. Now, how much of was he part of the game plan last week was a real question. And Andy, we know in the past, has sort of been cautious with guys. I know the turf at MetLife Stadium played a factor to some degree. And there would be, if everything went well this week, the assumption at the time on whatever it was, Saturday morning, was, hey, he doesn't have to get, we don't want to worry about it sort of swelling on the plane. We don't have to worry about MetLife's turf, which we all know is like one of the worst playing surfaces in the NFL. He practiced, but he's not like a totally a part of the game. And if we, if we rest him another week. And
I feel like opponent had to play some into that as well.
Now, you know I can't.
Okay.
No one said that to me. Okay. No one said that to me, although you are more than willing. And more than
I'm just guessing if they had flipped it, like if they had played Baltimore last week and the Giants this week, I'm assuming if you practiced all week, they would try to give you something to do against the Ravens. But we feel like we can beat the Giants without him, so we can sit him out for another week and let's try to get him right against the Ravens.
Yeah, you can say that. I'm not saying that, but ladies and gentlemen, Carrington said that. I was told Sunday of the game, while in New York, that he was going to play against the Ravens. I know our buddy Nick Wright said it on Monday that Xavier Worthy was going to play. I didn't want to say it necessarily as definitive because of, we had not seen him at practice this week, and he didn't make the trip for all the reasons I just shared. But yes, ladies and gentlemen, as of 4:03 on September 26th, I can pretty much guarantee you, unless something crazy happens, Xavier Worthy's not only going to play, he's going to be a pivotal part of the game plan. And my belief is, based on everything I've been told, hey, could he play half the snaps? I think that's a good indication of where he is right now. Again, you don't want to like push him too much because this is his first time playing on this particular injury, but they think he can protect himself. They want his speed to be out there. They want him to get involved, I would imagine, pretty early in the game. And so if he can play half the snaps and make an impact in the Chiefs win, then this has been a 3-week process that the Chiefs have to be thrilled with, even though he could have played against the Giants, they still went there, they still won for the more important game with another week of rest, another week of him practicing to get used to playing with a harness. He's going to play with a small harness. We've seen that at practice the last 2 weeks. He should be ready to go. He's excited. And even Travis Kelce today really couldn't hide what he believes the impact of Xavier Worthy could be in this game to us in the locker room today.
You mentioned Travis Kelce. You want to go and get this question out of the way now?
Yeah, sure.
Is everybody good? Because this is why I asked the question. I understand. It's like, oh, what happens? I mean, so far this season, at least I've only seen one head coach and star player get into an altercation, and it was in Kansas City. So I don't want to make it seem like this is just commonly happening around the league.
Right.
And it's happened multiple times. I don't think it's the biggest deal in the world, but I mean, there has been a Travis Kelce outburst in all three of the games that they have had so far this season.
Hey, bro, you got to stop. Yeah, for me, for you, for everybody in town, can we just have one normal game on Sunday? It's a great point. I can't deny it. You know, we've seen Tom Brady yell at, like, you know, Josh McDaniels, or, you know, later in his career, you know, have, you know, pointed words with Bill Belichick. It wasn't as easy to identify, but obviously that happens. You know, Travis Kelce today said, everything Andy Reid said is my statement. Which is, oh yeah, I'm a player, he's a coach. You know I love Andy, guys. Like, he went through the whole thing. I love Andy, he loves me. I know that, you know, we need to get the juices going. He knows how to motivate me. I know how to motivate him. But, like, he's a great coach.
I guess my issue with this,
we love each other.
Nate, sorry to cut you off. Like, my,
no, it's but, like, that's...
No, that's the statement. Yeah. But I guess my thing is, when you see, like, Brady, like, throw down the iPad and break the iPad, that seems to be, like, motivating for the team. Like, hey, I'm unhappy with our offense. I'm going to go get us going.
Yep.
It seems to me like when Travis does this, like, no one really seems to respond to it. It's just like, oh, Travis is just over there yelling again. That's why, to me, like, if we're phrasing this as leadership and trying to get guys going, I don't know who's responding to seeing Travis do all of this. You're in the locker room.
Yes.
Is there just any energy about this, or is this just a big something out of nothing?
It's mostly a big something out of nothing because of your point. Like, it has not led to, like, immediate success. It has not led to, like, oh man, the next time they're on the field, they're just sharp. No, he threw his helmet on the same drive Patrick scored against the Eagles. The next drive, you know, it's like, hey, now I believe, this is just me, ladies and gentlemen, I believe the reason why Travis went to Andy is these plays stink, and you know it, and I know it. We all were there. We all watched them. And I don't know if it was a pre-snap check to a different play based on the alignment and the coverage. You know, the coverage was technically off on the boundary. So we checked to a Travis Kelce bubble screen. And we all know that's like, that's, you can't do that no more. Even he know that. So if we're on the plus side of the field and we had a turnover, our first turnover of the year on the Russell Wilson interception in the second quarter, all right, we got to score. Like, this is the time to go for it. Like, this is the time to, like, bring me your best play. Let's score a touchdown. Let's get up 13-0. What the hell is this? That's basically what Travis Kelce was trying to get across Andy Reid. And then Andy Reid said, shut the you-know-up. Game of chest bump, they move on. It wasn't until halftime where they actually made adjustments, and Kelce wasn't like a major part of the game plan, at least from what I could tell in the second half, but he was on the field, he did his part, and they went down, they had a couple touchdown drives. But it's not like, oh man, Travis gets like angry and then it really fires everybody up. We have not seen that. So he should not do it on Sunday. I can't guarantee that he won't do it on Sunday, but I also said this early in the week. He's the only player outside of Patrick Mahomes who can actually challenge Andy Reid, like, in front of everybody. No one else has gotten that grace or that, you know, rapport. Obviously, no one is going to the Hall of Fame outside of Patrick Mahomes. And Patrick is more, I think, a little bit more cerebral in terms of, okay, what plays we need to run next? What are the adjustments? What am I seeing? How do I relay certain things? I know there was a time where Patrick used to be a little bit more fired up to get guys going on the sideline, but he's mostly defaulted that to Travis. So if there's anybody who thinks they need to say something to get the offense going, it will most likely be Travis. But unfortunately, it has not produced anything substantive that we can see on the field, which is why I understand your question. Like, what is this if it's not being a positive? But we also know that, like, not every team is going through this quite this publicly on the sideline.
Right now, we're joined by Nate Taylor of ESPN. Who do you think this game is more important for? This is a very, very big swing game for both sides. To be 2-2, right, heading into the month of October, to being able to kind of dig yourself out of the early season hole, I could give you an answer for the Chiefs why this game really matters. I could give you an answer for the Ravens why this really matters. I think it's more important for the Chiefs just because of the division that they're in.
Yes.
Because of the Chargers and the Broncos, where you only really got to worry about the Steelers if you're in the AFC North. It's just not as competitive from top to bottom.
Right.
That's why my answer would be Kansas City. Rob thinks it's Baltimore because of the mental aspect, where if you can't beat Kansas City in this one and you're now 1-6 in your last 7 against them, when are you ever going to beat Kansas City when it really matters? I think that's a fair point. Where are you at?
That's a fair point, Rob. And I heard the show earlier today, Carrington, and I agree, like, I still don't know why the Ravens are favored. They have a terrible defense. So as much as you could argue, man, if they can't beat the Chiefs now, when the Chiefs are a little bit, you know, stumbling out of the gates to start the season, to not have real any consistency on offense, and hey, they hope that, you know, a guy dealing with a dislocated right shoulder is going to be, like, you know, the answer today. They are the more beat up team entering today. They are the team with less rest, obviously playing on Monday night. They rank 32nd in total yards, Carrington, in run defense. They rank 30th, pass defense, 31st, points allowed, 31st. How in the world is Baltimore, outside of Lamar Jackson being an absolute superhero on Sunday? I don't understand how the Chiefs can lose this game unless they self-destruct, self-sabotage, have a litany of penalties, i.e. Juwan Taylor, have a couple turnovers. They can't cover anyone.
This is the point that I made this week, is we're now talking about the Ravens defense like it's the Cowboys defense. The Cowboys defense has made Caleb Williams and Russell Wilson look good.
Yep.
The Ravens have been exploited by Josh Allen and Jared Goff in the Lions offense.
You have Patrick Mahomes.
He ain't throwing it to Jamison Williams and Amon Ross St. Brown like I saw Monday Night Football either.
Now, they were supposed to, we all understand they're supposed to beat the Bills. Most times they would have beaten the Bills that day. Derrick Henry fumble really changed the momentum and the complexion of that game.
Same thing happened on Monday.
Yes. I agree less with that, because I just thought Detroit could do whatever they wanted on offense. Oh, it's 4th-and-2? Cool, we have a play. Where's Marlon Humphrey? Go. Yeah, there he is. Hey! The Chiefs could do the same thing. They could line up in, I know there's probably a good amount of fans that want to say, look, let's just line up in 2 tight ends and run the ball, because Detroit did that. But the Chiefs could also choose to spread out Baltimore, because they don't have as many quality players in the secondary. And they could just say, hey, where's Marlon Humphrey? Is he guarding Tyquan Thornton? Great. Go deep. Is he guarding Hollywood Brown? Cool. Run a whip route, dig route, anything you want to run in the middle of the field. Obviously, if Xavier Worthy, then let's isolate him in the zone. I mean, Kyle Hamilton's not even playing well, guys. I know the Cowboys don't have Micah Parsons, okay? And the Cowboys have been absolutely atrocious since opening night. The Ravens have been worse. Like, this just, these are just the facts, guys. They have given up 32 points a game. 32. This is like, we talked about last week with, hey, if the Giants are supposed to be the get right game, man, now you're at home. You're getting one of your better players on the field. You think he can make an impact? What pass rush was there last Monday for the Ravens? I mean, Jared Goff, he a statue compared to Patrick Mahomes. So Jared Goff wasn't sacked. Their best defensive lineman is not going to play, for the Ravens. We don't know what's going to happen with Calvin Noy. We have no idea what's going to happen with Ronnie Stanley, their left tackle. So I just think for the Ravens, it's like, please don't get embarrassed on Sunday, because to your point, they have a much longer runway to compete for their division, considering the Joe Burrow injury and the fact that we don't really know if the Steelers are good or competent. We'll find that out probably in October and November. What we do know is the Chargers are good, and they have already a game and a half lead up on the Chiefs in the division. So I just I've watched enough film, and I'm like, man, the Chiefs should be able to run the ball. Man, Mahomes should have plenty of options now with Xavier Worthy on the field. And unless the Ravens were unless there was something that happened Monday that we don't know about and they were just not mentally sharp and they're just going to get mentally sharp for this game, I don't know if they have the horses to compete with this team because they rank so low defensively and some of their best defensive players might not even play on Sunday.
Right now, we're joined by Nate Taylor of ESPN. So it sounds to me like you think the Chiefs could win a shootout. Like, I think the game script, this has to be like the game against Philadelphia. The game against Philadelphia, Philadelphia was up 13-10. Chiefs could be up 13-10 heading into the fourth quarter. Chiefs are putting together a drive.
If I'm a Chiefs fan, I'm furious if it's 13-10. Because ain't no way this defense is supposed to only give up 13 or 10 points. Unless, again, the Chiefs have just done dumb things for 45 minutes.
Yeah, it just sounds to me like you're just much more confident in the Chiefs offense to just kind of string drives together than I am right now at this point. Now, Xavier Worthy coming back just changes things drastically, and he just provides a spark to your offense. But, I mean, if the Chiefs are just going to continue to be a one-dimensional team that can't run the football, I don't know if you can just completely exploit a defense with the weapons that they have right now until you get fully healthy. So it sounds like that's right. Where you and I are just on the opposite sides. I mean, I think Kansas City can win this game.
Right.
I think they are going to win this game. I just think they got to win this game 24-17, and you think they could win this game 31-28.
The only way I can see the game being close and relatively low scoring is if the Chiefs can't tackle Derrick Henry. And Lamar Jackson makes, you know, a play or two that is totally possible. I just want to remind the audience, like, the Chiefs are healthy in comparison to the Ravens. The Chiefs are not going to have Mike Dana, and that's about it. Now, we know Rashee Rice is not on the active roster. He's suspended, so we knew he wasn't going to play this game before the week started. For the Ravens, Isaiah Likely has not played a game this season. He is questionable with a foot. Ronnie Stanley is one of the best left tackles in the league. He really didn't practice this week, guys. He's dealing with an ankle. Outside linebacker Calvin Noy, very smart, very cerebral player, dealing with the hamstring. And we already know Madam NBK is not playing at the nose tackle, and one of his backups, Travis Jones, is dealing with a knee injury, and we don't know if he's going to play. It's, you know, the Ravens are our beat-up team. I think if the Chiefs do what you said earlier today, which is have a fast start, which is, I don't know, go up 7-0 in the game, you could kind of squeeze things in favor of yourself because then Lamar has to do what he did in the fourth quarter against the Lions, which, again, talented team. They played really disciplined in terms of when Lamar tried to extend plays, when he tried to be creative. But once the game got out of hand, it was clear that you remove Derrick Henry, you put more of the burden on Lamar Jackson. And I've just seen more times than not, that's not a recipe for the Ravens' success in a slightly different way than if you put everything on Patrick's shoulders. He's still so talented, so capable, that he still might drag your team to the finish line for a victory. This is one of the few games this year where I look at the betting, and I don't know, I know that's not everything, but the fact that the Ravens are favored really puzzles me because I'm not sure what the Ravens are good at on anything that's defensive related. They don't get turnovers. They don't get stops in the red zone. They are struggling on third down. Obviously, I read a bunch of statistics earlier. Guys, there is no excuse for the Chiefs offense. Playing at home in their fourth game with their offensive line, you hope starting to gel at this time, there's no excuses for them to not have their best game of the season on Sunday.
Oh, you lead me into the next point where you say the offensive line is gelling at one time. I'm near my end with Juwan Taylor. Everybody can be at their own different end. I'm at my end. If you look at the Pro Football Focus numbers, he is ranked 90th out of 101. So you're telling me that he's playing good in pass pro. That's not what Pro Football Focus is telling me.
He didn't play well last week.
He is the most penalized player in the National Football League. And one point that I've made this week when it comes to the offense is you just got to eliminate something. You can't give points away in special teams. You can't take first downs and points off the board because your right tackle commits a penalty. Like,
yes.
You're not talented enough to be able to overcome all of these things the way that you used to. When you used to take it off the board, oh, well, it doesn't matter. Let's just throw it down the field to Tyreek Hill. Like, you don't have that safety blanket anymore. And it feels to me like if I ask people, hey, what do you think their 2026 week one offensive line is going to be? It's going to be whoever you have right now is the sixth man. He then steps in for Jawan Taylor. So you already have an exit strategy if you're frustrated by the penalties. I would be willing to pull the ripcord, but listening to the Chiefs when they talked this week, they basically said, I mean, outside of the penalties, we think he's played pretty well so far this season. I don't expect him to make any changes at the position.
This is it. I don't love being the guy to be like, this is it, kids. Like, now or never. Do or die. Must perform well game for Jawan Taylor. But this is where we are. I totally understand it. He did not play well by even his standard that we've come to know against the Giants when he was not causing a penalty. I think I put it on Twitter Sunday night. If people want to go back and rewatch, like, we kind of watched Patrick Soul leave his body for like 30 seconds when he scrambled for the first down on third and I want to say I got to look it up in the box. It was like third and 14. He scrambles.
They get a first down. There's a penalty. And we all knew who the penalty
yes,
was on.
Yes. And NBC's cameras just got his face and Patrick went.
Every week this happens.
So last year. Just to remind people, it really comes down to the quarterback. Like, Andy Hack could be like, look, I've tried to tell him everything I need to tell him. And Andy Reid, you know, did the whole, like, he's a veteran. I'm not going to say it publicly. We love him. I know Matt Nagy last week said it's got to stop. It didn't stop.
It's happened every game since
it's
then.
It's literally happened every game.
That's the part, like, that, to me, and that's the thing, too.
So?
Like, you can't come out and say it's unacceptable. You know it has to stop. It then happens the next two games, and you're like, well, I mean, outside of the penalties, he's played really well. Well, then you have accepted that this is just part of you guys' offense, that at some point in Sunday, the Chiefs are going to be putting a drive together. We're all going to notice there's a flag. We're going to all know who it's on, and now that's another thing the Chiefs have to overcome.
Yeah, guys, it was a The Chiefs are up 3-0. Patrick Mahomes on 3rd and 12. Now, the Giants do a good job of keeping everything in front of them. Hey, pass, you know, they protect the sticks, as they say. So either Patrick could throw the ball short and hope someone breaks a tackle, or he does what he does, which is scramble through the pocket. It's good protection. He gets 14 yards when he needed 12. All of a sudden, you're at the 14-yard line with a chance to go up 10-0. Oh, wait. It's a legal formation penalty on Jawan Taylor. Instead, it's 3rd and 17, and the Chiefs basically go, I'm sorry. Just dump it down to Noah Gray, get the field goal, get out of Dodge. The only person who has pulled a guy off the field in front of us is Patrick Mahomes. So I don't want to hear it anymore when people say, hey, when they going to do something? Well, you have a 27-year history of Andy Reid largely going with the veteran option, the guy that he knows more than the backup option, which is the case right now with Jalen Moore. We saw last year Patrick Mahomes tell Andy Reid and Matt Nagy, get him off the field. That was Wanya Morris. So I want to hear it, okay? If you want Jalen Moore on the field Sunday, if Jawan Taylor struggles, it comes down to one person. It comes down to Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is the one who can really make this happen because, I mean, unless the Chiefs score 0 points, or like to your example earlier, it's 13-10, and it's been a slog of a game because you got 80 penalty yards and 50 of them are accounted to Jawan Taylor, then okay, maybe. But unless Patrick gets hit, which he hasn't been hit the same way he was or at the same rate he was last year, it really comes down to Patrick Mahomes. If Patrick Mahomes says, look, I can't do it no more, then you'll see Jalen Moore. But do I think Jawan Taylor's probably going to start Sunday and finish the game Sunday? Probably. But I understand everybody's frustration. I've now given you the reason as to why and how these things could change.
Coming up on the other side, I want to ask you the question of if you ever think it happens for the Ravens. I mean, right now, Lamar Jackson is 1-5 against Patrick Mahomes. He's a losing record against Josh Allen. If you can't beat the Chiefs and the Bills, very difficult to get out of the AFC. I also want to get your thoughts on Harrison Butker, who's off to a little bit of a shaky start.
Yes.
But it's early in the season. Is that something you're worried about? We got Nate Taylor of ESPN in studio. Keep it right here. So drive.
The Drive with CDOT. Tune in as Nate Taylor of ESPN joins the show in studio every Friday at 4 on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan. The Drive, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison, and Nate Taylor is here. He is with ESPN. I've been calling it Prove It Weekend, is what I've been calling it. It's that way in the National Football League. It's that way in college football. There's a handful of teams that just quite simply have to prove it to you on the field. The Ravens are at the top of the list. If the Ravens lose this game and they're 1-3, I don't think a lot of people are going to kick dirt on them and they're not going to panic, but I'm going to ask a very simple question. I mean, all three of your losses are to Super Bowl contenders. Are you a Super Bowl contender? You know, that's a fair question to ask. If you finish a month in which you lost to Kansas City, Buffalo, and Detroit, and your win is Cleveland, are we still putting you in that same conversation with those other teams? So I'm curious to get your thoughts on the Ravens. I made this point yesterday. Lamar is at the point where there's nothing he can do in the regular season that will impress anybody at this point. He could throw for 60 touchdown passes this year. He could throw for 5,000 yards. It'll be yeah. Show me what you do in the postseason. It feels like we're kind of reaching that point where people are starting to ask the questions if the Ravens are ever going to be able to get over the hump.
Yeah, no, it's completely fair. It reminds us of like when Peyton Manning would just, you know, put up gaudy statistics and you know, he had yet to get through the AFC Championship. It's unfortunate because we talked about this last year. I would have given the MVP trophy to Lamar Jackson. I thought he was just a little bit more efficient than Josh Allen was, but it was obviously a toss-up. He played really well in the first half. And I think similar to what goes on when you have a franchise quarterback as you go through these waves. And right now, because Derrick Henry's not going to get any younger, you really should be trying to maximize what he gave you last season and this season. But of course, they don't have as reliable of a kicking game now. Their defense lost its defensive coordinator, and we see what Mike McDonald's doing in Seattle. So they've had a little bit of a slippage in terms statistically last year, and then they have not play well this season. Lamar is so talented. But, yeah, I don't know what more you could ask of him than to, you know, win your division, even if it's in a technical down year, and find your way back to the AFC Championship game. The thing that sort of haunts him right now is he is in this era with Patrick Mahomes, with Josh Allen, with, let's include Joe Burrow, you know, because Joe Burrow on one of the opportunities he maximized it. He got to the Super Bowl, right? Lamar Jackson's only been to the AFC Championship game once. It was at home. He did not play well. I do want to remind people, though, that was the very best version of the Chiefs defense. So his timing was not great, even though they had a very, very good team that year with Mike McDaniel as the Mike McDonald as the defensive coordinator to John Harbaugh. I think questions should be asked about John Harbaugh too, just as much as Lamar Jackson, just because their teams have done well, but they have not maximized their opportunities. Are they not playing as well as they play in November and early December? That does not translate to January. And I'm not really sure why. I thought Lamar was incredible in the divisional round last year, and the game, you know, turns on Mark Andrews' mistakes. But if they lose on Sunday, I imagine it won't be because of Lamar Jackson. I just believe it'll be because they're going through another cycle of, hey, the roster's not as good as we thought it was going into the year. And because you have a franchise quarterback, because he's making legitimate money, there might be some years where your roster isn't as strong as you wanted it to be, or there might be guys getting older at a faster rate than you anticipate. What's tough is he does have good receivers this year, but I thought his best weapon last year was Isaiah Likely, who is yet to play this year. So he's kind of in a similar situation to Patrick, where I understand the circumstances are not ideal, and his defense is not helping him out at all.
I don't know how to play spades, but I understand like the concept of spades.
you haven't been yelled at lately?
I saw people yelling. I was like, this seems like a very stressful game. I don't want to play this. But I understand the concept of it.
Yes,
I would say right now in the AFC, you got three books and two possibles. I'm still going to put Kansas City, Baltimore, and Buffalo in that they are books. They are contending teams in the AFC.
Yep.
The possibles are the Chargers and the Steelers. Are you willing to put any other team in that conversation? Are you ready to move the Chargers and the Steelers into the same category as those first three teams?
I'm ready to move the Chargers because the evidence is there that, you know, I didn't know if the Chargers roster was going to be as good as maybe some people suggested. That is proven to be the case, right? Khalil Mack still playing at a good level. Jerwin James is not getting penalized as much as he was last year. Ladd McConkey is as good as advertised a year ago. And their draft class this year appears to be, you know, serviceable players for Jim Harbaugh to get that team going in the right direction. The question then becomes for Justin Herbert, like, hey, we've seen you in January. Can you play a complete game in January? But I will give them that book. Steelers, I'm not sure of because you're asking, how old is Aaron Rodgers again? Is he 41?
He old enough.
I mean, yeah, he's 41. He'll be 42 in December. Oh, like, if you could guarantee me that Aaron Rodgers could get through the whole regular season, then I would say, okay, I'm leaning towards that book being in hand as well. So I'll say four. Let's not address the Colts. I have no idea what to think of this.
We already know what the Colts are. We see a team like the Colts every single year. They're gonna win double digit games in the AFC South. They're gonna lose in the first round of the playoffs. Next year, whenever we give our new playoff teams, the first team we're gonna look to move out of the playoffs is gonna be the Indianapolis Colts. Like, we can go ahead and fast forward their storyline to the end of the season where they go 11-6 and lose in the first round of the playoffs.
I understand that one of the funnier things could be, like, if the Chiefs don't win their division, let's say for the first time in almost a decade, the Chargers are the team that wins the AFC West.
They go on the road to play the winner of the AFC South,
which will be the Colts.
Indoors.
Yeah. Patrick Mahomes in a dome indoors against, you know, a cardiac Colts team that, you know, continues to find ways to win these games late at the end with Daniel Jones. So I feel confident about maybe four, maybe five teams in the AFC. So I completely am in agreement with you. I think the Chiefs will get better over the course of the season. There's enough history with Andy Reid, with Patrick Mahomes. You know, we can go down the list. Obviously, even the defense in these last, you know, three games has made incredible strides, I think, in terms of how some of the younger players are playing under Steve Spagnuolo. So if I think the Chiefs get better over the course of the season, then yeah, they'll be there at the end in January. Baltimore's schedule is a bit tricky, but hopefully Baltimore gets healthier in like mid-October, November, and they can go on a run themselves. But right now they're so beat up that it's a little troubling, which I guess could give Pittsburgh a chance. But I mean, we're counting on Aaron Rodgers staying healthy and making good decisions over the course of the season.
Yeah, I just think with the Chargers, I think if you're kind of looking right now at their schedule, I think you got to pencil the Chargers in for at least 11 wins.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised if they didn't win 11 by looking at their schedule and the talent that they have on their team.
It's a good team, too. I understand, you know, I can read some of the text line that, like, hey, do we, you know, it's only, yes, I understand. It's only been three games, but their defense is legitimate, guys. You know, I know this all been divisional opponents, so there is some familiarity there, which is, you know, a good sign, but the fastest way to win your division is winning divisional games. Ladies and gentlemen, they got the Giants, the Commanders. We'll see if they get healthy in time for that game.
Got the Dolphins coming up.
The Colts, the Titans, they're in a position
to really rack up a lot of just wins.
The Jags, their bye week is late, so they could get some relief for the stretch run. I mean, their tough stretch comes sort of in early December. They get Philadelphia and Kansas City back to back. I think Denver could still be in the mix, so who knows? Maybe that game is important to end the regular season. But yeah, 10 wins looks easy right now. If you get one of those 50-50 games, whether it's against Pittsburgh or Jacksonville, you know, then yeah, they can get 11 wins. And again, I always thought for the Chiefs, 12 wins was kind of their line to win the division for this season. Like what they did last year was so remarkable, winning all those close games. Obviously, it was a franchise record 15 wins. But usually in a competitive division, 12 wins, based on how things go within that division, usually gets you a home playoff game. I don't know if it'll be the one seed necessarily because Buffalo exists. But, yeah, if the Chiefs can get to 11 wins, get to 10 wins, and have that game in December 14th matter a great deal, then, yeah, it'll be awesome for us to see a legitimate race in the AFC.
Coming up on the other side, I do want to get your thoughts on Harrison Butker. We'll also get your keys to the game coming up for Sunday. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
We got Nate Taylor here of ESPN. We'll get back to the game here coming up momentarily. Want to get your thoughts on Harrison Butker. He's missed a couple of field goals so far this year, missed an extra point or two as well. It's still early in the season. I don't want to overreact because he didn't look like he was himself in late December, and then he didn't miss a kick in the postseason. So I just feel like we've done this before with him.
Uh-huh.
I said that my worry meter is somewhere between 3 and 4 for Harrison Butker right now. It's certainly something.
Yeah.
And you can argue that him missing those kicks changed the math in both of your losses, that if you make both of those kicks, it just makes it easier for you to come back and potentially win those games. I'm not going to overreact to Harrison Butker. I'm somewhere between a 3 or a 4. Where are you at? What do you think's going on?
I would say I'm at a 5 because, you know, to your point, like his kicks have been pretty impactful towards the outcomes of games. And even last week you were saying, hey, let's just have everybody have their normal performance, get back on track. He misses a kick in New York. So he hasn't had a clean game yet. And, you know, through three games, it's a bit concerning. His leg is still really good, you know, in terms of distance. And I think one of the reasons why I have a 5 is, you know, Carrington, when we talked to him in training camp, much of his work this year was about accuracy. Like, how do I improve my accuracy just a little bit? Even if that's got to, even if I have to compromise some of my power, so that he was talking about elongating his career because of the ankle injury, because of the knee injury. You know, he had a procedure in the middle of last season, and to your point, has always been just excellent in the postseason. Just for people to be aware, he has made 36 of 40 field goals in the postseason at a 90% rate. His longest is a 57-yard field goal. He's making 95, basically 96% of his extra points in the postseason. On average, you know, before the season started, he was the, based on years and qualifying over a course of a certain time, he had an even higher percentage rate than Justin Tucker. So he was the most accurate kicker of all time. You know, now going into, you know, this is, I think technically this is his ninth year, but he's got a Hall of Fame resume. Dave Tobe told us that it's the placement as to where his foot meets the ball, which is why he's missing to the right. So that's something to watch in Sunday's game is, does he kick the ball? Does he kick through the ball enough that it stays straight for an accurate kick? Or is he, you know, slightly off? You know, we always compare this to golfers, but it's fading quite a bit to the right. He worked on that in particular this week in practice. And yesterday, we got a chance to watch him through one of his first kicking periods, and he did really well, making field goals from 60. So I don't know why he has struggled. We have not been able to talk to him after these past two games against the Eagles and the Giants. So I'm at a 5, but he needs a clean sheet at some point sooner rather than later.
I don't think you can really undersell how important this game is for the Chiefs. If you win this game, you're 2-2. You are just 2 weeks away from Rashee Rice coming back. You have undone what you did wrong in the first month of the season. You got Jacksonville coming up. Like, there is going to be a huge shift in fan optimism the way we discuss the Chiefs if they win this game and they're back at 500 and they're getting Rashee Rice back before the end of the month. It will be that the Chiefs got themselves out of a choppy part in their season and they have come out victorious. If you go 1-3, the best you can do is be 500 when Rashee Rice gets back. That puts even more pressure on the game against the Detroit Lions that might be, again, a favorite in the NFC, look like a top 5 team in the league.
Yep.
It is a drastic difference in terms of how you feel, the math to try to make this thing work if the Chiefs are 2-2 as opposed to being 1-3. We always ask you this, give me your Ravens win if scenario, give me your Chiefs win if scenario for Sunday.
Lamar Jackson has to come off the bus saying, I have to do whatever's necessary to get us a win. And that is being a little bit more risky in terms of some of the chances you make. Maybe it is throwing the ball, you know, 50-50 shot for, and I want to remind people this, DeAndre Hopkins will be on the field Sunday. Maybe it's giving Zay Flowers another chance, you know, on a deep ball. Like, test the Chiefs' defense in a sense, whether it's with your arms, with your legs. But again, he is coming into Arrowhead without a full, healthy roster. The Chiefs win if Xavier Worthy looks as good as the Chiefs believe he can be in Sunday's game. And to the point you made earlier, don't do anything stupid in the fourth quarter. Like, don't have drop passes. Don't have penalties. You know, get off to a fast start. I know that I just named like three things, but ultimately those are things they can control, to get a tempo and to seize the game even before halftime. I think the Chiefs are the healthier team. I think the Chiefs have the better quarterback. History tells us the Chiefs have the better coach. They are the more rested team. They are the team that I think has a potential to have more explosive plays not named Derrick Henry. So, don't turn the ball over. Don't do anything silly, and I think the Chiefs win this game.
I mean, to me, it feels like in a life sense, the Chiefs are just in a rut right now where we've all been in that situation where you just need something good to happen. And it feels like this win at home against a good team in the Ravens, that's that thing, regardless of how you get it.
Yes.
If the Chiefs can figure out a way to win this game, you get back to 2-2, You exhale. Everybody feels good about the team. You just got to start piecing wins together again. And it has been a very interesting, I think, turn of events, because last year in every single one score game, the Chiefs were the team that either made the play or capitalized on you not making the play.
Correct.
So far in these first two games, you were the one that gave up the long run to Justin Herbert at the end of the game. You were the one that caused the interception that bobbled it up, that then was a basically a 14-point swing in the game and puts you down two possessions with less than 10 minutes to go, and your offense just isn't at the point where you can overcome that right now. I want to see if Kansas City can be the clean team in this game, and if they can, I think they win.
Yeah, and an emphasis has to be on tackling. That was one of the things about last year's game, if people remember, that let the Ravens get back into the game. It was the, hey, you let Lamar Jackson, you know, outside of contain. He throws the ball to Isaiah Likely. Nick Bolton's right there. Doesn't make the tackle. Isaiah Likely scores a touchdown. And, you know, the Chiefs, I thought, did a pretty good job with Derrick Henry last year. And so they'll want to replicate that with, you know, Drew Tranquil, Nick Bolton, Leo Chenal. You want those guys to be making clean tackles to put Lamar Jackson in third and long situations. But, yeah, if they tackle well, this defense has shown that it can limit explosives. That's the one, I mean, the one reason, I mean, there's several reasons, but the only issue they had against the Eagles was the tush push and that one deep pass to Devontae Smith. That was it. So the Eagles capitalized on the one explosive play they got by using the tush push to get that touchdown to give themselves a 10-point lead. We saw last week, even though Russell Wilson was going to try and try again, he could not get a deep completion against the Chiefs defense. Justin Herbert even struggled in the second half to do the same thing after he sort of picked them apart in the first half. So I think the secondary is getting better. We'll see what happens with the pass rush, but being the cleaner team, to your point, is not giving up additional yardage because you didn't tackle the ball carrier.
We will get you out of here with this one thing. We got like 90 seconds left. Joshua Briscoe was on our show and he told me to ask you about Martha Stewart.
God dang it.
That's what he told me.
God bless her. Love her to death. You know, it's why does he do this to me?
So this is what happened.
Why?
I used to love Martha.
I love Martha. I ain't never going to stop.
I have switched to Reba McEntire.
What?
You can only have one. You can't have all of them. You got to pick which one. I picked Reba.
I mean, Dolly Parton's in that group too, I imagine. Yeah, man, I'm just.
I see you're a man who likes some of the finer things in life. You're a man with good taste.
Look. As someone who did have conversations at one point in time in his life with Martha Stewart, I wasn't afraid to shoot, y'all. Don't you worry.
Yeah, you're a man who likes a nice vintage piece, I see. That's what you are. You love a nice vintage piece. Yeah. Vintage couture.
I mean, look, are there a lot of differences between me and Snoop Dogg? I guess not. I guess not. I don't.
Let me ask you. I guess I got to ask you this. When you took a shot at Martha Stewart with full court... Was it a wide open mid range? Like what kind of shot did you take?
Like, I think I kind of surprised her, and again, we can get into this later, but like I kind of surprised her to where, like, you know, when you get the rebound and you're like, hey, like, you know, do the traditional play, pass it, you know, move it up court. Nah, baby. Nah, we're going to step right into this.
Okay.
We're going to step right into this three with confidence.
You took a three with like 19 seconds left on the shot clock. Yes. That's all I need to hear. That's Nate Taylor of ESPN joining us. Terrible shot selection is what we've learned. It's the drive.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.